You are standing in front of the Bourbon Orleans Hotel at 717 Orleans Street on the corner of Orleans and Bourbon. Look at it. For stories of Creole masonry, white painted balconies, a courtyard fountain you can hear through the carriageway. It is one of the most popular wedding venues in the French Quarter. And on the second floor, in the Orleans Ballroom, beneath a chandelier that has hung there since 1817, guests and staff keep reporting the same figure. A woman dancing alone under the crystal, in a room that is empty and locked. The hotel does not argue with her. Housekeepers describe a Confederate soldier on the upper floors, children laughing in the halls. But the dancer belongs to the ballroom, and the ballroom carries a story the whole city tells. From about 1817 into the 1840s, the story goes, this room hosted the Bal de Quarterons, the quadroon balls. Free women of color, chaperoned by their mothers, were introduced here to white men who would take them as long-term mistresses under placage, from the French placer to place. The man provided a house, often a cottage in Treme or along Rampart Street, an allowance, support for the children, sometimes schooling in France. The mother negotiated the terms. In the telling, it was a marketplace conducted under this chandelier, elegant and cold at once. Now ask where that story comes from. Nearly every vivid account was written by an outsider passing through. Bernard, Duke of Saxe-Weimar-Eisenach, visited in 1825 and published in German in 1828. Harriet Martineau came in the 1830s, the geologist Charles Lyell in 1849, all writing for readers in Europe and the North who wanted New Orleans scandalous. The architect Benjamin Latrobe, who reached the city in January 1819 and died here of yellow fever the next year, sketched the world around the balls. The women themselves left almost nothing in their own hand. Discretion was the arrangement, and the people who kept the archives did not keep their stories. And here is the famous unresolved part. When the Tulane historian Emily Clark searched the notarial archives for her 2013 book, The Strange History of the American Quadroon, and when Kenneth Slackson combed the court records, neither found a single placage contract. No price list has ever surfaced. The archives hold wills, property donations, and manumission papers, evidence of durable interracial households and property-owning free women, but no signed schedules. Only one advertised quadroon ball is firmly documented in 1805, 12 years before this ballroom existed. Clark argues the marketplace picture was largely assembled by travel writers and later novelists. Others answer that arrangements this delicate would never have been notarized at all. The three-cast world was real. The cottages were real. What happened in this room, no one can prove either way. That question is yours. Then the floor changed hands. In 1881, the ballroom was bought by the Sisters of the Holy Family, a Black Catholic order founded in 1842 by Henriette DeLille, a free woman of color from a placage lineage who refused the arrangement chosen for her and took a vow instead. Her sisters ran a convent, a school, and an orphanage here for 80 years, nursing yellow fever patients where the orchestra had played. Rome declared DeLille venerable in 2010. Whatever the balls were, the same parquet held the market and then the vow. So stand under the balconies, imagine the chandelier lit, and ask who the dancer is. A placey waiting on a promise, or a figure the travelers invented, still dancing anyway. The room keeps both possibilities. From this corner, walk back toward the river on Orleans to Chartres, turn right, and go half a block to 801 Chartres. The next stop is Muriel's Jackson Square and the table they still set for a man who lost the building in a card game in 1788.